welcome to the Daily Info podcast for the beginning of August. My name is Jenny Pawsey, and this week it's my turn with a Daily Info tape recorder. This edition is for all of you who haven't gone somewhere exotic on holiday. This week we'll be discussing how to get a taste of a foreign land without leaving the city. We've also got a gig roundup from Richard, who's our resident gig expert, and Patrick tells us about where you can watch the Olympics on the big screen in Oxford. So Richard is here to talk about local gigs in the next couple of weeks.
Good afternoon.
What did you think of the music at the Olympic opening ceremony?
I thought it was absolutely brilliant. I think it was a great snapshot of British music history, something we should be rightly proud of as a good export. The whole show I thought was great. Danny Boyle working with Underworld, you could hear their influences coming through in various songs, and for someone of my age, that brings back fond memories.
Is there anyone you think he should have included who he left out?
I struggle to think of anything that he's missed off there. That there are, you know, so many great British bands over the last 50 or so years. He's certainly picked the ones I would have picked.
I was sort of waiting for Blur or Oasis or Pulp or somebody from that area, but I suspect that's just because of when I was
a teenager. We'll be probably getting a bit of a Blur at the closing ceremony.
Okay.
So I believe they're performing at the Hyde Park.
Cool.
So there's an influence there. But yes, I mean, there's, of that era, there is, of course, Underworld from Trainspotting and things. So yes, you can see why Danny Boyle may have chosen those, you know, one of his best films with one of the best soundtracks to cover that era. Yeah, no Spice Girls, I don't think, was there?
No, don't think so.
They're quite commercially successful at that time.
I'm not too sad he left them out. So, closer to home, what's on this week?
Well, on this coming Friday, the 3rd, we have at the Cellar the legendary DJ Derek. If you haven't seen him, I would strongly recommend going and check him out. He's now 70 years old, he's originally from Bristol, and he's one of the best ska, rocksteady, reggae DJs, been going for a long time, and is quite rightly very well respected.
I think of him as a Zodiac stalwart from the old...
And a big festival. I mean, he's big on the festival circuit. He's worked with some great names over the many years. There'll also be a band called The Delegators playing there as well. If that's not your cup of tea, on the same night at the Bullingdon, we've got local guitarist Denny Islett Jr. is assembling a group of his favourite musicians to play an homage to Led Zeppelin. There was a snippet of Led Zeppelin in the opening ceremony I caught. So that'll be at the Bullingdon Arms, and they'll be accompanied by... there's a good local blues man called Tony Beatty who will be playing there, and a local band called Southern Blues Fiasco. If that's not quite the thing, how about on Saturday, the 4th at Red Lion in Marston, Hippie Hayes and the Sunshine Superman. A tongue twister, if ever there was one. A great sort of tribute to the hippie era, late 60s flower power. So yeah, if you've got your flares and your beads and things like that, you want to put them up. People are known to sort of dress up for these particular sorts of gigs.
Sounds great fun.
So yeah, you've got a few days to grow your beard and grow your hair long.
Okay, so that covers ska and hippie.
And ska, hippie, blues, Led Zeppelin. Okay, well, how about further afield on our doorstep on Wednesday the 8th, all the way from Sydney, Australia, we've got the Crooked Fiddle Band. They're playing at the Wheat Sheaf, and they are not traditional Australian music, a cross between sort of gypsy, Balkan punk. So yeah, if you think folk music is all bearded men in jumpers sticking fingers in their ears and going, arr, think again, this is good dancing folk music. And they are being supported by the Brickwork Lizards. They're a great local band who seems to have a fusion of jazz and Arabic influence there. So if you ever wanted to see a left-handed oud player, which you don't get that many of, I would suggest going to see the Brickwork Lizards and the Crooked Fiddle Band at the Wheat Sheaf on Wednesday. And finally, on Saturday the 11th, at the Harker Arms in Jericho, with the Dependent, hopefully outside. There's four bands playing, including, again, Southern Blues Fiasco. So Allman Brothers-style southern rock.
Excellent. That covers most countries, most types of music.
Pretty much all genres. There are, as always, lots more events listed on the website in the gig section. August is traditionally a quieter month, but there's still something to do every night.
Thank you very much.
We've got one more musical item, and this is a music festival, but it's not like most of the others in this county. This one you might not know, it's about baroque music, and it's organised by Charivari Agréable, who are a very good bunch of musicians. Charivari Agréable means something like a really nice cacophony. The concerts are candlelit in Exeter College Chapel, very atmospheric, and the festival goes on until the 19th of August. They're not on every night, but you can check either the Charivari Agréable website or indeed Daily Info. Now, August has started, and that means that the summer holidays are well underway, the excitement's worn off, so how can you keep the children occupied? This weekend, Friday the 3rd to Sunday the 5th of August, there's an event going on at Blenheim Palace with jousting, archery and falconry. That's free with entry to the gardens, so that's £11.50 for adults and £6 for children, and there are also family tickets and concessions available. If that doesn't appeal, there is the Oxford Story Museum, which is a very new museum. It's not officially open yet, but it does have an exhibition going on called Rochester's Extraordinary Story Loom, which sounds fascinating. It's a steampunk machine which weaves stories. And the Oxford Story Museum is on Pembroke Street, just off St Aldate's, quite near G&D's. And it's open Wednesday to Sunday every week in August. £5 for adults, £3 for children. And on Daily Info, we had a review submitted by Oxford Mum, who said, "This place is kind of amazing. A dilapidated building that used to be the telephone exchange tucked away off St Aldate's on Pembroke Street. The story loom almost defies description, and I urge you to go and see for yourself. A Victorian steampunk room-filling contraption that purports to weave stories, and there's a whole backstory about who made it and why, which is fantastic. The Story Museum deserves to be better known. It's early days, but it's rare to see somewhere that celebrates pure imagination and storytelling, and whose mission is to get children and adults to fall in love with stories and books." And the machine is actually made by Ted Dewan, who is a children's illustrator, and is also the man behind Road Witch, so some of you may have seen his amazing sculptures and road closures. And then on Sunday the 12th of August, there's an Oxford Family Sports Day, and that's organised by the City Council. There are taster sessions, stalls, dances, and a bit of competition as well, I should think. And that's going on all afternoon, starts at 1 o'clock, and it's free, and it's in Bury Knoll Park in Headington. So next we have Patrick, who has been researching where you can watch the Olympics if you're bored on your own sofa.
Yes, almost any pub in Oxford that has a TV screen is taking advantage of the fact the Olympics are extremely popular and good fun to watch, and is showing usually BBC One, usually with the sound on. The only exception to this rule is the Bullingdon, who are showing it in, I believe, the front of the pub with the sound off and the music on, so if you want a non-commentary option, that's possibly a good one for you. Most other places that I've spoken to, the Dewdrop in Summertown, for example, and the Duke in St Clement's, have varyingly suggested that you might be able to turn the sound up if you ask nicely, and also the Dewdrop will let you look at other things from the red button if you're particularly interested in a particular event. Go there, have a few drinks, make friends with the bar staff, and they'll no doubt give you control. So any pub that you go to that's got a TV, you'll be able to watch the Olympics there.
Excellent. So the opening ceremony was broadcast on the very big screen.
Yes, at the View in the Kassam Stadium complex. They've actually got a whole, an entire cinema screen or several screens dedicated to pretty much every event that's going on at the Olympics. The tickets are free, but you must register for them. I believe the address is myview.com/Olympics, but if you do a search for Olympics Oxford View Seminar, that will bring the right page to you as well, and you can register.
Brilliant. And how can you tell which pubs regularly show sport and have that kind of setup?
Well, if you look at daily information, there is a useful feature on our venues searching page, which is a tick box to select pubs that show TV sport. If you tick that box and press search, then all the pubs in Oxford that have a TV screen show sport on it will be presented to you in a useful alphabetical list.
I imagine there are quite a few in that category.
Yes, there are. Oxford does well for pubs, and it does very well for sports pubs. They're also quite well distributed. Everywhere you go, there is a TV sport pub, guaranteed.
Brilliant. And so for atmosphere, obviously the pub and a drink and a crowd is a great way to go. But there's also, of course, nothing to beat going to London and seeing the Olympics live for yourself. And I believe you are going to do that.
Yes, I am. On Friday, I'm going to see the dressage event. I'm not sure whether it's team or individual, as they seem to be happening at the same time. I've never watched dressage before live. I have seen it briefly on TV and was amazed and slightly confused. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great event. It should be a fantastic experience just going there, I think, even if I don't understand a single minute of the dressage. I'm sure that when you go there, you kind of get a feel for what they're trying to do and you can be amazed at the quality of the horsemanship.
And have you been researching dressage terms, the jargon, the riders and the participants?
No. The Olympic website, the BBC one, had one of the Olympic hopefuls, I believe Laura Schinkelmeister is apparently a medal hopeful, so I'm aware of her, and I had a quick look at the video of her enormous stables in Berkshire, I think they are. Looked very interesting. I'm prepared to be amazed.
So a report when you come back then?
Definitely, guaranteed.
Excellent, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Unless you've been hiding under an enormous umbrella for the last year, and let's face it, who hasn't, you'll have noticed there's a certain sporting festival going on. The world has come to London. But frankly, London is way behind Oxford. The world came to Cowley Road long ago. And now for our tour of the world via the shops on Cowley Road and St Clement's. First up is Il Principe, representing Italy. Il Principe is on the Cowley Road and it's introduced by Dominic.
Buongiorno, sono Domenico. Siamo qui del Principe, un Italian delicatessen che sta a Oxford Cowley Road.
What sort of things do you sell most of in here?
Okay, mostly we got a wide selection of pasta, dried pasta, some fresh pasta as well. We do home cooking in here, so starting from takeaway pizza and pasta. And we do wine, Italian wines, Italian olive oil, and plenty of the mix antipasti available, and salami, ham, cheese, almost whatever we use in Italy on daily basis, we brought it over here for you.
Are there lots of Italian people in Oxford?
But most of our customers are from all over the world, so international customers, because Italian food is well appreciated all over the world.
Very famous. Somebody who comes from Italy and who's really homesick, what sort of things do they buy?
Well, first of all, in Italy, no one can live without pasta, tomato sauce, and pizza. And of course, the wide selection of salamis as well, they can't live without it. And of course, okay, there is plenty of Italian wine and olive oil, which doesn't miss the Italian table on everyday basis. So that's what it is.
And I can see you're watching the Olympics.
Yes, we are.
Behind you, who are you supporting?
Well, guess who? I would say Italy for sure.
And supporting Britain a bit, or not at all?
No, we are, of course we are. Part of the community, or the British community as well, so why not?
What's been the most exciting thing for the Italian team?
Swimming, so? I hope, but I hope we're going to do well in swimming, but then we'll see. But I don't think we are this year. But.
Cool, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Now is the turn of Thailand, and representing Thailand we have Oriental Mart on St Clement's. It's introduced by Pierre Rum.
Sawasdee krap, pom chue Pierre Rum. ขอยินดีต้อนรับเข้าสู่ MK Oriental Mart Supermarket. Mostly the product come from all over Oriental. It's like instant noodle, salts, and sweets, and drinks, and vegetable.
Cool. And do the people who come here, are they people from Thailand who've moved to Oxford who miss food, or are they people from Oxford?
Yes, most of them. Yeah, from Thailand, China, Japan, Korea, and Indonesia, Malaysia, Taiwanese, and also a big customer is English.
And what sort of food are most people homesick for if they've come from Thailand?
It's like an authentic Thai food and Thai ingredients, like Thai people call namplik. Namplik is some kind of hot mixed herb. Very good cooked with meat and all kind of vegetables.
And what would you recommend, somebody who doesn't know a lot about Thai cuisine, what would you recommend them to try to get a really authentic taste?
Firstly, it's like something light. It's not too spicy. It's like try to make a light soup or instant noodle soup. And also some frozen products.
So the English people can't take the heat in the same way that the
Now they can. They are better than Thai people now. But they can take lots of spicy. It's not unlike before.
Are you watching the Olympics?
I do, yes. I do mostly every day after work. I finish by 8 o'clock, the shop close, and many live show and highlight.
And you're supporting Thailand or Great Britain?
I'll support both. I'm a big fan of Great Britain.
Thank you very, very
you're
much.
You're welcome.
And now it's China, represented by Jingjing on the Cowley Road. Speaking for Jingjing are Muhan and another employee.
我的名字叫胡慕涵，是这个超市的名字叫做静静超市。
Excellent. Does Jingjing mean something in Chinese, or is it?
Oh, Jingjing, as far as I know, is the daughter's name of the owners.
What do you sell most of?
Many people come here to buy like something like a soy sauce and oyster sauce and
instant noodle.
Yeah, instant noodles. Many people from Thailand, Indonesia, India to buy the instant noodles produced in Indonesia. So it's the flavor they prefer, but we Chinese people don't like this product.
Okay, what's your favorite thing in here?
My first thing here is the sauce. All the sauces that are daily used in the Chinese food cooking. And the vegetables also. Of course, tofu.
So if somebody wanted to cook Chinese food and they wanted a really authentic taste, what would you recommend?
Oh, I will only recommend the things that I like, because I'm not quite acquainted about the Thailand stuff or Korean and also Japanese. I'm not very sure what it is. Maybe the product's name just changed, but the same is the same as the Chinese food.
Okay, so what this shop sell as well as Chinese food?
Of course, we sell most products from China, but also Thailand, Korea, and Japan. Many people like the Thailand chili sauce, sweet chili sauce, but yeah.
But you don't?
Because we prefer to use our own products. Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Is there a big Chinese community in Oxford?
Community?
A big Chinese community in Oxford?
Yeah, kind of a black that way. It's a Chinese Oxfordshire Chinese Community and Advice Center. Short for OCCAC, just down the road.
That's just on Princess Street, isn't it?
It's like their headquarters. But,
okay, so this is a good place for people to stop by and do some shopping on the way.
Yeah, maybe.
And are you watching the Olympics at the moment?
Oh yeah, I support China. And as you can see, the television people, of course, support England. And when you get a bronze medal, no silver, no gold. I want to see the Chinese gold medal, but oh, just stop at bronze.
What sports are the Chinese team best at?
Yeah, diving, table tennis, or called ping pong. Mm-hmm. And
tennis? Badminton?
Yeah, badminton.
Well, pretty much everything, really.
Yeah, ping pong.
Thank you very much.
And now representing the world of French pastry, we have Chateau Gâteau on St. Clement's, and that's introduced by Sam.
Je suis Sam. Je vous présente Sébastien Landé, c'est notre chef pâtissier. Ce magasin, cette pâtisserie est appelée Château Gâteau et on se spécialise en la pâtisserie française. On fait plein de macarons, on a 15 sortes de macarons, 15 différentes saveurs. Et on a combien de gâteaux, combien de genres de gâteaux on a, Sébastien?
7 et 8.
Our top seller is, guess.
I think it might be the beautiful macaroons that look more like jewels than cakes.
Well done, completely right, yes. The macaroons are the best selling because I believe we do the best macaroons in the region. So I've been told. We work really, really hard to keep the consistency, to keep the same high standard. It's a difficult thing. We work really hard at combining flavors. So we have like mango and saffron, banana chocolate, we have cherry vanilla, we have strawberry basil. So we try and combine flavors to give something quite unique.
Looks like 16 different flavors at the moment.
That's correct. 16 different flavors at the moment, yes.
Wow. You have a French community living in Oxford who are homesick for these?
Yes. The French community probably consists about, I would say, 30% of our customers, but it's mainly locals, people who live here, who come over and try the French macaroons, and they love them, and I'm really glad about that.
So what do you think of English cake?
English cakes are amazing. I really like English cakes. I like carrot cake. Victoria sponge, when it's really well executed, it could be a really good cake. With the right chat. So, yeah, muffins are great. Cookies are very good.
I don't think that's English now.
It's
that's
American. I know it's American, but there is some British cookies. Come on, I'm sure. Americans come from England, mostly. You know, so they stole the cookies from here, I'm pretty sure, you know, somewhere along the lines.
This is getting controversial now. are you watching the Olympics at the moment?
I am. I would like to see Britain do well.
Next, for Morocco, we have Couscous Cafe, also on St Clement's, and that's introduced by Karim.
My name is Karim, and the place is Couscous Cafe. وابتديناها 2008 صادي 4 سنوات هو مقهى مغربي ونبيع فيه كسكس طواجن حلويات عربية حمص جميع أنواع الحلويات العربية ونبيع كمان بعض المنتوجات المغربية حال هذا حقائب وال يا ابن الله الطواجن كل الحوائج التوابل أي حاجة مغربية ونبيعها كمان.
And what did that mean?
That we opened this cafe about 4 years ago, and it's a Moroccan cafe with some Moroccan food, and we also sell like couscous, tagines, and things like that. We also sell lots of Moroccan items, like carpets, rugs, bags, mirrors. We sell a lot of these things. This is good business for us.
And is there a Moroccan community in Oxford?
There is a Moroccan community, not very big, I'm afraid. We're only about 50. They're all doing well, they all got their own little businesses. Like the people from La Croissanterie.
Right.
They're all Moroccan. And there's a Moroccan shop in Cali Road. It's just, this is what I'm passionate about, I like food.
What are you cooking at the moment that smells so good?
Couscous. So I'm making couscous with lamb and vegetables. So we put the lamb to cook first and then we throw in the vegetables.
Right.
Really nice.
And do you teach people how to use the tagines if they come in and buy them?
We don't teach them how to use them because it's a bit, might
you
be a bit patronising. We give them a very good tip and the biggest tip you can get. And the most useful one is that if you don't soak your tagine 24 hours in water before the first use, it will crack. Now, don't ask me why. That's what my mum said. And when I asked her advice, she said, just do it and shut up. I had a wedding in Hillingdon in London. And I had about 200 people. And they were doing a tagine for each table. So we had about 15 tables, I think, 20 tables, I can't remember. So I put the same the number of tagines. And then they decided to add another table last minute. So I was like, oh, shoot, I don't have another tagine. I quickly went to a friend of mine. I said, listen, he's a friend of mine and he bought for me that tagine. I said, I need to borrow it. He said, I haven't used it yet. I said, yeah, perfect. I'll buy it back from you. And he was just touching that. Show that. So it was a big table. It was lovely one. Each table has one of these tagines in the middle.
That's enormous. So how many people did that feed?
But they had, I think, 15 portions. Nice lamb. We did the lamb with the prune and almonds. Oh, this happened during.
So it's cracked
long.
Across
oh,
the bowl.
Oh my God, what am I going to do? So embarrassing. Thankfully, I mean, it wasn't like in two pieces. I managed to squeeze it in. Then it did leak a little bit of sauce was leaking. But we had a big mat, because these are really, really, really hot. It's still bubbling, and it will stay bubbling for about an hour, easy. My mum said soak them in the water. So I did, soak them all, and I was all happiness. And then when I got this one, last minute, I didn't soak it like that, yeah. She was talking rubbish anyway. And then it's the only one that cracked.
But she was right.
My mum, she's always right. I'm keeping it here for her to remind me.
So what's the most popular food you sell here?
Couscous. Hands to me. So one day somebody said, oh, do you sell couscous? I said, be very worried if I didn't sell couscous. To change the name.
Are you watching the Olympics at the moment?
I absolutely am.
And who are you supporting?
Team GB. I've been here for quite a while now, I've been here for 14 years. I know I'm definitely not British. My accent is dodgy. I don't look like any British whatsoever, but I like when somebody says, oh, yes, go on. I don't feel it until I'm like, yeah, come on, England. Because when I first came in, I was watching a football match with England. It wouldn't have that effect on me. And it's amazing how things change.